Justice has prevailed, and we're back in control. And that's the most important thing. I was able to convince not Mr. DeCastro, but I was able to convince Mr. Wirt, who runs the broadcast division here, that we wanted our jobs back and we should have them. When he found out what Jimmy did, there was big trouble. There's blood in the streets upstairs right now.
Good for you.
Yeah. So we're back.
It was fun while it lasted.
Kevin, you're back in your seat. Congratulations. He's only 4 days on the job.
Isn't that incredible? He's already like,
I'm taking over the show.
I believe I should be in charge of the show. I've done enough paying my dues.
Yeah, I mean, it's 2 days of sports. It's time for a full show, right?
It's here almost a week. and then we've got Violetta, lovely Violetta. But I got to tell you, it is a complicated thing up there in traffic.
Yes, maps are very complicated. That's what I'm trying to tell people.
Hey, sports is hard too, guys. Come on.
Yeah, it's real hard. Yeah. A bunch of glandular cases running up and down the court. Right. It's like,
and
right.
I just kidnapped Judy to have a spot.
Yeah.
Oh, exactly. Kim's.
Kim, I just know on a Friday, I really appreciate your very lovely way about you because I want to be in a good mood on a Friday as opposed to Judy barking at me like I'm a Guantanamo.
Especially on a day like today because you know what's going to probably break loose very shortly.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and we'll be on top of that, by the way, because protests are moving into downtown, and we'll take you there if they should occur. We also, of course, have the Carnarvon wagon. That will not get interrupted by a protest. We will not allow that to happen. And Top 5 Richard Roper is going to be here. And, of course, Susan Schmidt joins us, brought to you by DeVry University's Keller Graduate School of Management. And Susie Sunshine, thank you so much. We are... We're looking ahead to a very, very, very interesting quarter here. Actually, a very, very interesting month because earnings are about to come out. But big number today in jobs. What does this mean?
Big number today in jobs. Now, not a great surprise to the market because we got the ADP data that came out on Wednesday. So that's always the front runner to the official government report on jobs. Very consistent between the two. So reassuring to the market, we saw 215,000 jobs added today, which is great. That reassured the market that, you know, jobs are still existing, people are being hired, and importantly, the participation rate went up. So people are feeling very encouraged that there's enough work out there. So we're seeing people who withdrew from the workforce coming back in. And so we want that participation rate to get higher. It's about 63% right now. It was 62.9. But pre-recession, it was, you know, in the high 60s. So it was like 67. We want it to be back at that higher level if we could, ideally. So that's a very good sign. So the market.
What was the low water rate for that?
Oh, and the participation rate?
Yeah.
It was down in the low 60s.
Okay.
I was also reading, though, that the participation rate keeps wages down and that Illinois is certainly seeing that. They said all 14 of the state's metro areas are seeing that real wages are either slightly decreasing or staying the same because of that participation increase.
That's exactly right. So as you have more people coming back into the workforce, then there's more choice for employers to go out and find someone to take on that specific job for them. Wages go up when you have to fight for workers and you can't get them. So you have to increase wages to attract them. So this is a nice sign because this means that we can continue to have a nice backdrop to the economy where people are being able to go back to work. There's a job for them. They're able to re-engage in the workforce, but there's no pressure from inflation. So we don't have to worry about the Fed coming back and saying, oh, maybe it's time to raise interest rates, which is what backs everybody off. So this is a very nice balance that got struck today with the data. So I think that's a good sign for the coming month in earnings.
Now, there had been some concern about earnings, right? Because things had flattened out a little bit in the fourth quarter last year. And so now, as you're looking at the first quarter, this is very much a determinant of how the next year or two is going to go, right?
Yes. Right now, the market is waiting. And remember that in the first quarter, we're ending on a high note. So it's definitely recovered. But if we were in the second week of February, we were all looking over our shoulders saying, what in the world is happening? Things feel terrible in the market. The reality didn't seem to be that terrible, but the market was interpreting things as very negative. So we saw that big decline in the market. Anna, someone you and I know both know very well, was panicking. But
who?
I wonder who that could be. And so,
hey, I was not alone. I just want to tell you something. I was not alone. I was talking to some bankers this week who were telling me that February, they have a lot of clients down in Florida, And they said February was the worst month in this woman's life. Because, and she's had two kids. I think she, you know, she like has had an appendectomy. She's had all kinds of things.
Poor thing.
She, and she had the worst month of her life because the weather was bad in Florida and all the old people were calling her, panicking all day long about the market.
Because they couldn't play tennis?
Right, because they couldn't go outside. So they would sit at home and they would watch CNBC and lose their, or Fox Business, and lose their mind.
Well, that's been easy to do lately because it's been so volatile that, yeah, gosh.
It has been. It's been all over, and that leads to a very emotional market, and hence your friend in Florida had a horrible February because people are really focused on this. Ro, I know your mother has many questions for us always when the markets are like that.
Yes.
So it's been that kind of market. Now, do I think earnings will be okay? Yeah, I actually do. I do think earnings are going to be fine. So in the next month, I think we should see good news from corporations and that it will be steady. I don't think they're going to come out and be overly optimistic about the rest of 2016. I think they're going to say that things are going to be good, but they don't, you know, it's not a surge. We're still not at a surge economy. And that's all right. Slow and steady is actually not a bad place to be. So I feel fairly comfortable that expectations have come in enough, and what will sway things will be management's tone as they talk about guidance for what they're expecting for the rest of the year.
That volatility seemed to me is like the markets were not sure what to do, and that, you know, any sudden movement in Europe or globally could change things here. Do you feel like there are signs now that we're sort of turning a corner and people, there's more belief in a healthier economy?
I do think we're turning a corner, and we saw that today with not only our numbers, our manufacturing numbers came out this morning, but we also saw some more economic data from both Europe and Asia, and those numbers were all fairly solid. And so when you have that solid data, you feel better about it. The crisis that we felt in January, February was when we were really getting a lot of negative noise out of Europe and Asia. So China, concern about their economy slowing, government not being able to fix things, Europe having to do more QE, so having to do more printing money effectively to help keep things going along. And that just converged, and that convinced a lot of people in the U.S., in the U.S. market, wow, this could be really bad, safety, I want to run away. And that's where we saw that decline from January to February. As the economic data started to get stronger, and like our jobs number this morning, people are back to realizing maybe it's just not that bad. It's okay. I think things will actually, we'll work our way out of this. It's going to be a slow, steady rise, but that's where we're at. And so I think now we're seeing the confidence from that.
You know, what's also a little shocking to me, and you know what I'm going to do here? I'm going to roll Trump into this, and here's how I'm going to do it.
I thought we were going to have a Trump-free Friday.
Well, what is interesting to me is I wonder, you know, with him talking about how he wants to deal with international policy and making the Saudis pay for things or cutting off the oil supply there, that can actually have an effect on the oil markets when he starts to talk and people take him seriously. And I wonder, because he doesn't tell us exactly what he has in his portfolio. He's refused to do that so far. He's only given us a rough guesstimate of what his value is. You know, equities be damned. He doesn't tell us. I wonder how much of exposure he personally has to the energy markets, because he can manipulate them now.
Oh, that's interesting.
Well, that's an interesting point. Now, what did happen this week and what we saw today, this was the one shock to the market today, was crude. The price of crude oil went down about 4%. And that happened because the Saudis came out and talked about the capping on production rates. Now, this is another thing that helped us improve from February, because we suddenly saw chatter where the Saudis were willing to meet, OPEC was willing to meet. They were going to talk about capping production rates. The capping production rates when everybody was almost at max production isn't really something to talk about, but the fact that they were willing to engage in conversation with each other is the sign that they're starting to think about negotiating. So that's what gave the market confidence. Today, oil is down 4% because Saudis came out and said, well, if Iran, who had said, we're not going to participate, if Iran isn't going to participate, then we're not participating, so we're not playing. Forget it. We're just going to go all out again. And hence, the market's backed off. Oil has come down. With Trump putting pressure on Saudi, you know, the issue here has been that the Saudis, the speculation is that the Saudis really wanted to squelch the development of energy here in the U.S. And so they've been pushing the price of oil down. With Trump saying, okay, Saudis, you're going to have to pay for this, they probably don't like to hear that either. So once again, we're seeing a move now where they're pushing the price of oil down.
Interesting. But that has an inverse effect on energy stocks. Generally?
Well, not necessarily, because if the oil price goes down, then the value of what you have in the ground, the quality of your rock, also goes down. So energy stocks typically will go down when exploration, we call them E&P companies, exploration and production companies, will typically go down when the value of their oil wells goes down. So...
Right, so it's inverted. It's an inverted relationship.
The price
of oil goes down, the energy stocks go down, right?
Right.
Okay. Right. So that's all right. That's the only way I'm going to work Trump into this. I'm just saying, for all you people like, oh, he's a good idea, man. He is a good idea. You think about that's one of those things that I've worried about and wondered about this whole time is how is he actually feathering his own nest here by talking about certain things, whether it's China, because it would certainly help him in his own business in China if he could try to scare the Chinese into thinking they'll make his ties for free. And his hats and all the rest of the crap that he makes there. Whatever else occurs. All right. Now, looking ahead, let's look at what happened in the markets here today. And we look ahead to next week. Just what we do every week at this time with whom I like to call Susie Sunshine. So today, obviously, the markets liked what they were seeing in terms of the jobs number. Up 107. S&P up 13. And the NAS, as the hipsters like to call it, up 44. So that's
millennial of you.
Thank you very much. Now, what's interesting, though, is, you know, we've seen a lot of Fridays where the numbers are green.
It's so true.
And that is normally not the way it happens in the world because, as we've talked about before, the markets around the world stay open over the weekend. A lot of American investors want to take their money off the table as you head into the weekend.
Reduce exposure, yeah. Exactly, and get out of the way because, again, we lag. Everyone is open before us as we come through. And so we're seeing a lot of green, and I think that's good. Now, remember that the quarter just closed yesterday. So all the professional investors are very focused on the quarter end, so 3/31, 6/31, 9/30, 12/31, because that's the day that they then show performance. They have to print their numbers and show performance for that quarter to their clients. So generally, you won't see a lot of big moves right before the quarter end because no one wants to, you know, switch anything around at the last minute and create havoc. And then this is the first day after. So it's not unusual to get a little bit of a rally the first day after a quarter ends. But at the same time, I think what we're seeing in the green numbers, and we are seeing a trend from the last couple of weeks, that Fridays have been closing more to the positive. And I think that's an indication of this growing comfort level that we were missing in January and February, that, you know, things might be okay. It's okay. The U.S. economy and the exposure here is actually good exposure to have. It's steady. It's gradually improving. We're seeing it with the jobs number. We're seeing it with the manufacturing numbers. So people are less likely to panic. They're more comfortable living with their investments over the weekend.
All right. Let me just say, right before we let you go, I noticed that a lot of people are offering 0% financing, whether it's in automotive or it's in services, things like that. Is there an expectation that interest rates are, you know, as it has trickled down from the Fed all the way down to businesses that, you know, trying to attract business, that interest rates are going to be stable? Janet Yellen, according to Cramer, and you know how smart he is, he never makes a mistake.
No.
Cramer says, you know, she fooled us again. They're probably not going to move interest rates because of all of the trouble that they had in the fourth quarter when they did.
Well, I think what she said, now Janet Yellen spoke this week on Wednesday, and she spoke to the Economic Club of New York, and she came out and she talked about how she is very comfortable with where they're at currently and that they're all taking a measured approach. So the Fed governors are all taking a measured approach in examining what the underlying is of the economy and basically taking a wait-and-see attitude. So the market has now shifted their perception to a comforted by her comments that, all right, this is very dovish, meaning she doesn't want to raise interest rates. And the market has pushed out expectations for an interest rate increase into June and then really, you know, September or December. So they're really pushing it into the back half of the year. And that, well, Cramer thinks she faked us out. I'm not so sure that she did. I think the market came in not really sure what she was going to do. And again, having this, there's a little more certainty. It definitely seems like she's aware of the issues internationally and a little more tentative. Janet Yellen's vote is the most important. So regardless of the fact that other members of her committee are out there talking and potentially saying, you know, we're thinking about raising rates, because that did happen last weekend, she's out there very strongly saying, no, we're not. And she's in control. So her voice is the most important. Focus on that.
All right. Susan Schmidt Keller, Managing Your Future Weekly Market Recap. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
appreciate
Susan.
It.
Good talking
Thank
with
you.
All right. Coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, we've got a man who says that Earth can defend itself against aliens with a laser cloaking device.
That is the strangest story I've seen in a long time. And, but there's part of it that really feels like it could be true, that it might be going on already.
Right.
We're
now,
rubbing off
like,
on you.
Does this sound like craziness? It's not craziness. This is really something.
And it's not an April Fool's joke. We should preface this.
No,
one.
This is
not,
real.
It's a real news story.
This is real.